morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Sometimes a great notion. Oregon isn't getting as high on ethanol as it once was.
In Josephine County, a 30-year-old battle to stop chemical spraying draws up lines.
And we're sending 4,000 advisors to Afghanistan. Right, advisors. Vietnam is still recovering from the last set of advisors we deployed.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers, highs in the 50s. Tonight, clouds, showers, temperatures in the mid-30s to low 40s, and then tomorrow, more of the same.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. As most people know, there's currently legislation being proposed in the Oregon House to help protect our communities and natural resources from liquefied natural gas development. The LNG Public Protection Act, House Bill 2015, isn't an outright ban on LNG, but it does strengthen the state's role in the permitting process. My guest today, Olivia Schmidt, with Columbia Riverkeeper, is back on Cascadia's airwaves this morning with an update on the status of this key piece of legislation. Welcome and good morning, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris. The House Bill 2015, the LNG Public Protection Act, was recently referred to a House committee called the Sustainability and Economic Development Committee. The way that the legislative process works is that the bill has to go through a committee before it can reach a full House vote. But if it doesn't make it through that committee because, you know, if it doesn't get a yes vote by that committee, then it doesn't ever make it to the floor. So what we're trying to do right now is really target that the House representatives in the Sustainability and Economic Development Committee, urging them to support the bill and to allow it to get to a House vote. As you mentioned, the bill is by no means a ban on LNG. The crux of the bill is that there should be a proven need within the state for this resource before we grant rights to the state's resources that we own. For example, the Broadwood Landing site wants to take 15 billion gallons of Columbia River water every year, and it doesn't seem right that we should give up that resource unless they can prove that we actually need LNG in the state. That sort of litmus test also expands on to the issue of eminent domain.
The irony, too, of course, being that water is increasingly more and more valuable to the point where it's a toss-up which is really worth more, the energy or the water. Also, the absolute bottom line of this is that it's California that would benefit, and California has rejected LNG. That's really all a person needs to know. But if you want to know more, Olivia, tell people where they can go to find out more.
Yeah, sure. If you're interested in making a contact with your legislator, you can visit the Oregon Sierra Club website, oregon.sierraclub.org. That is a great site to send a note to your legislator. But on April 9th, at the PSU campus in the Smith Memorial Student Union Room 327 at 7 p.m., we'll be holding a film showing of a new documentary, a short documentary about LNG terminals being proposed for the Columbia River and the pipelines that are associated with those. Former Secretary of State Bill Bradbury will be there to speak about global warming issues, and that's a great place to find out how you can take action in supporting this bill and where we're at in the process of fighting these terminals.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Olivia Schmidt of Columbia Riverkeeper. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris.
Just because the idea is a new one doesn't mean it's a good one. It's the classic American mistake. The backlash against ethanol hit Oregon's legislature yesterday. Five bills are up for consideration that would scale back the state's commitment to the largely corn-based fuel. Legislators from both sides of the aisle complained about reduced mileage, potential engine and fuel system damage, and increased food and livestock feed prices.
Oh, Monsanto's not going to like that. Residents along Oregon 74 near Boardman are demanding that Morrow County enforce state noise regulations on the Willow Creek Wind Energy Project or revoke its land use permit. These people are part of an emerging backlash to an alternative to energy technology that most revere as clean, green, and essential to reducing emissions that contribute to climate change. As turbines sprout across Oregon, people who live near the sweeping blades are raising their voices about noise, spoiled views, lowered home values and health risks. Of course, these same people aren't terribly worried about fossil fuel emissions as a health hazard.
Yeah. The idea behind today's forum at PSU is to encourage architects to design more sustainable communities and get involved in socially responsible projects. Organizers say, quote, "We're being challenged to play a more direct role in solving the critical social and environmental problems facing the nation and our communities, and to incorporate outreach into our own practice to serve what is an ever-growing client base with real needs."
I hear money. In a party line vote yesterday, a House panel has approved a bill that would add new containers to the list of bottles eligible for redemption under Oregon's bottle bill. House Bill 2184 would also increase the deposit from a nickel to a dime if the state does not meet its container return rate goals. No matter, the world's natural resources are close to tapped out anyway, so we really have no choice but to recycle.
Washington, D.C. is exasperated by the escalating cost of fighting wildfires. So yesterday, the House overwhelmingly approved a bill to help pay for the next disaster. The bill would create a separate fund to cover the costs of combating major wildfires, such as those that have devastated parts of California and other western states in recent years. But there's a simpler solution. Curb growth. Too many people causes unnecessary fires, and the seasonal burns that forests need are being fought for all the wrong reasons.
Proposed Oregon legislation that would curb gill netting on the lower Columbia River is picking at a sore point that has divided commercial and sport fishermen on the river for decades. Backers say it's a win-win deal for sports and commercial fishermen, but some gill netters say they wonder if they'll stay in business if it passes. Let's hope they don't.
Coos County is taking a deliberately cautious approach to negotiations with Oregon Resources Corporation. New issues concerning the company's chromite mining proposal have moved to the forefront. Along with noise, dust, and traffic issues, commissioners are reviewing other resource opportunities, such as platinum and gold that may lurk in the soil. Unresolved issues include royalties to be collected by the county and possible compensation for lost timber.
There's gold in them there hills, apparently. And now we go to national news. Has anyone stopped to ask, can we afford to keep playing cowboys and Indians? Today, President Barack Obama announced his new strategy to, and this is a quote, "disrupt, dismantle, and defeat Al-Qaeda in its safe havens in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and deploy an extra 4,000 military trainers." Trainers, eh? Mm-hmm. Vietnam is still recovering from the last set of U.S. trainers. KBOO Spencer Raymond joins us to consider the implications of Barack Obama's new strategy. I use the word new carefully here, new strategy in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And, of course, this immediately, there is a huge bombing that took place in, suicide bombing in Peshawar, Pakistan, just 5 hours after Barack Obama's speech. Good morning, Spencer. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, good morning, Chris. You know, this is the first sign of what Obama has been promising all along that he talks about in his campaign, this new focus of the war on terror away from Iraq into Afghanistan and Pakistan. And what his announcement today shows is, as you mentioned, the 4,000 new troops, trainers, as you said, these are going in to train Afghani police officers, Afghani law enforcement in that country. What should be noted, though, and this is an interesting step, it's a new step for America and, you know, the Obama administration also, is they're giving money to the local governments there. There's a new push for what we call soft power in this kind of war fighting. Instead of sending in tanks and planes and hard military force, the United States is taking a new move and sending in things that can help these countries sustain themselves. And with that in mind, that's how they're trying to weed out these terrorist cells, because the notion is that if you can create a successful, competent community and society in these countries, it will be harder for the Taliban, for Al-Qaeda, and the terrorist groups, especially in the tribes of the mountainous border region of Pakistan and Afghanistan, it'll be harder for these terrorist groups to take hold and take power, because the things that they're offering, like security and those types of things, will already be offered by the communities that are there.
But these are tribal societies, and dismantling an entire culture that's thousands of years old. What nothing can really replace that. The causes of terrorism are not they're not to be found in the hills of the Khyber Pass in Pakistan's northern regions and in Afghanistan. The causes of terrorism are in Wall Street. We're in the wrong place, as usual, it seems to me. Having traveled a lot in Pakistan and Afghanistan, I can assure you that a lot of people living in the hinterlands have no idea that they're a country. There are still a lot of nomadic people in Afghanistan that have never heard of Hamid Karzai. Karzai himself has lost virtually all credibility, except for in the smoky deal-making back rooms of Kabul.
Chris, you certainly could be right, but there's a new the notion that these tribes in the mountainous regions are a cause behind this is because there is no, as you said, society. There's no country, there's no governance there. And in that environment of a lack of governance...
But there is governance. It's just different from a Western concept of governance. They definitely have governments. They have tribal councils that are extremely effective in the context of that particular culture.
And, but those tribes are not... when the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban go in there, that's when they can get... The power can be twisted in such a way that is not analogous to the idea of a central government that's in Kabul or in Pakistan. And that's what Obama is really trying to do, is bring these central governments, as Western as it may be, that's really their only hope, if they can help these governments try to do something for their own good instead of the United States doing it on their own at all times.
And I suppose that one could also see the glass being half full, and that these people already have all the resources that they need to initiate their own changes. Thank you so much for that, Spencer.
Right.
And, of course, this is KBOO, Spencer Raymond, speaking with us as he does every weekday.
President Obama took questions yesterday submitted by the Internet and in person, part of a political strategy to engage Americans directly, and the only thing that emerged is that he's against legalizing marijuana.
At the same time, New York Governor David Patterson and state legislative leaders have reached an agreement to dismantle much of what remains of the state's strict 1970s-era drug laws, once among the toughest in the nation.
In North Dakota, Fargo police have evacuated some homes as floodwater breached protection from the river. They'll go to a high school for emergency protection. The river's risen over 40 feet, but in the context of climate change, it's just the beginning.
Yeah, and don't bother running to Alaska to hide. Alaska's Mount Retta continues its volcanic explosions. The latest one sent a cloud of ash 32,000 feet above sea level. Alaska Airlines said it's going to think about it before sending any planes anywhere near that part of Alaska where the volcano is erupting, near Anchorage.
The U.S. Navy said that it had deployed two warships in waters off Japan ahead of North Korea's planned rocket launch early next month. This has been headlines and commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, March 27, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoint. Journalist Ali Abunima on Gaza.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.